At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Your key to financial opportunity.
Rides the highway.
Thank you for talking with me today, Jamie. What exactly do you know about this case, about your father's involvement, or about any of the other people involved?
Well, the short version is he was a hitchhiker picked up by Daniel Romita and Lisa Dunn, and I always forget the name of Walter. I can't ever remember if that's his first or last name.
Last name. Mark is his
first. Okay. There you go. If I recall correctly, the angle, well, there's a big difference between the initial conviction, what that was based around, and then the ultimate decision. I guess there's a couple of different narratives, but the original narrative was that they basically went on this multi-state robbing and murder spree, and I believe Jim or Anita ended up getting the death penalty. My father got 4 consecutive life sentences. Lisa Dunn, I believe, is already paroled, and Walter was killed, I think, in the initial shootout with police. I think the trial took place in Kansas. That's where he was from.
When you say you're talking about your father?
Yes. Yeah, Charlie. And his lawyer was able to get him off on an appeal. Basically, he was a hitchhiker along for the ride and didn't necessarily take part. He just was stuck in the situation, and he was only 36 years old. So out of the 4 consecutive life sentences, I believe he only had to serve 4 years. When he was finally released, 36 years old, and then died 4 days later from a heart attack.
Okay. Did he ever, I know he wrote letters to your mom. In those letters to your mom, did he tell a different side of the story? Did he ever say that, you know, what the media was saying was inaccurate or anything like that?
No. He actually didn't discuss the case at all when writing personal letters. They were mostly in regard to me and her. He did, however, talk with my brother Jeff, a little, I believe Jeff was actually with him when he was released from prison. And because Jeff was telling me about it, that reporters were trying to talk to him. And he and Jeff were in the house at his dad's house, like James Charles Hunter Sr., my grandfather. That he didn't want to talk to any of them, that he wanted a 30-pack of the Old Milwaukee, some terrible beer. And then Jeff was also older than me, though, so he was probably 15 at the time, or 14. I think he said he was 14, but, yeah, depending on... Yeah, his birthday within a year, but he was a cognizant teenager who our dad would probably talk to, in that regard, like in a way that you wouldn't talk to a 6-year-old, 7-year-old.
Okay, so you were 6, almost 7 when this happened?
Yeah, in 88 I turned 7 in March. Okay.
There's been a couple different narratives about the other guy, Mark Walter. Do you know if your dad knew him prior to this happening?
Actually, no. No, I was under the impression that he didn't know any of them.
Okay.
Prior to any of this. He was known to hitchhike, and so it seemed like kind of a straightforward case of hitchhiking and being picked up by the wrong people.
So... this kind of goes to my next question anyway. Can you tell us, like, what kind of person your father was? You know, like, who was Charlie? I mean, you said he was known to hitchhike, so was he kind of free-spirited and traveled around the U.S. a lot? You know, give us some insight into that.
He was, if you talk to Jeff, I think that you'll see a lot of him in Jeff, because I do. And also, when you read his letters... that's pretty insightful. He was very smart, very witty. He would use these colloquialisms where, like, when reading his writing, it would give you the impression that he was pretending to be, like, a dumb hick. But then, of course, his writing was impeccable. The grammar, the spelling, the punctuation, he was not dumb by any means, but... almost like the kind of person who thinks it's funny to act like a country boy, but they're not dumb by any stretch. And it makes me think of like Mark Twain or something in that regard. But so he was funny, he was smart, he was very generous, he was creative. He played guitar quite a bit. In fact, my Uncle Sean said he was really good. The only thing is he had like that typical Jekyll Hyde persona where unfortunately he was an alcoholic and he did drink quite a bit. And he was 2 very different people. When he was sober, he was all of these great things that I can imagine would just be beyond charming, but when he was drinking, he was pretty horrifically abusive. He did things like, and to be clear, I don't believe he ever abused me, but as far as the women in his life, like for instance, he would hold on to me and tell my mother that he was going to harm me unless she got on all fours in the kitchen and ate dog food. Like, very humiliating, dehumanizing, things like that. Wow. My aunt had to come over one night, and I guess it was so bad that she literally screamed at my mom to throw the baby, which is me. And I can't imagine, like, what could be going so horribly wrong that your safest bet is to throw an infant.
Yeah, really.
Get out of the situation. And of course, I can't see through my mother's eyes. Like, I can't imagine how she felt as a mother. But, I mean, as far as I can recall, he never actually abused me. I think it was just, like I said, a bargaining chip to dehumanize my mother. And the same with my sister, Jamie. And yes, he George Foreman'd us. So both of us are named Jamie.
I know. That was his choice?
I don't know. I think it's bizarre because his first name was James and he has two daughters named Jamie, and he really missed his shot there because his oldest child is a boy and he named him Jeff.
I know. You know, I wondered because his father's name was also James.
Well, I was named after him and his mother. My name is Jamie Rose. It's because his mother was Rosemary. But so I don't know why Jeff isn't a James unless it was his mother's choice. But with Jamie, his relationship with her mother ended so quickly. Well, they were married, actually, but they were already divorced by the time Jamie was born. So they divorced when Jamie's mother was pregnant with her, which seems particularly cruel, but I can only imagine either it was because he was cruel toward her in that relationship or that he was cruel enough to leave her during that relationship, during a pregnancy. But no matter which way you slice it, it was obviously something awful. His relationships weren't great.
I know that a lot of people who are abusive in their relationships as adults dealt with a lot of abuse as children. Do you know if he grew up in an abusive home or what his childhood was like or anything?
I don't. I've actually wondered, and even Jeff hasn't alluded to that. And I know that Jamie visited our grandfather before he died.
Okay.
And he didn't even know that she was his granddaughter when she visited because she didn't tell him. But I think he was dying and he may have been in either a hospital or an assisted living facility or something like that. So he wasn't in a position, I guess, probably to know who was visiting him.
So Jamie's younger than you, correct?
No, she's older.
Okay, so you're the youngest.
Yes. She's the middle, and then Jeff is the oldest. And her name is spelled slightly different from mine. So we have the same middle initial, but different middle names. So
how is her spelled?
Hers is just has one extra vowel. It's J-A-I-M-I-E.
Ah, okay. Interesting. I've never seen it spelled that way.
Me neither. That probably made it harder for me to find her when I was looking.
So that's another thing I want you to tell us on record about how, if I'm correct, you didn't know about your siblings initially, correct? Can you tell us about how you found out about them and then how you found them and how all of that went?
I didn't know that they existed at all. Clearly, my mom had a type because my stepdad growing up was identical to Charlie. But I didn't know that there were siblings until I was about 17, 18 in the late 90s. And I got this letter in the mail saying that my grandfather had died, which would be Charlie's dad. And because he had passed and because Charlie had died a long time ago, that Charlie's portion of the estate was being split between his living children. So I'm reading this will, and it lists me and then also Jeff and Jamie. And I almost thought it was a typo because I thought there's no way that he had two daughters named Jamie, except that he did. And I knew that they were both older than me. I can't remember how much information I could glean from the will other than that I had two siblings and they were both older. And I tried to look for them, and in the beginning it was very difficult because it was the late 90s and internet back then was dial-up, and it was pretty much charged like long-distance calling. Like you paid for the minute or you got the stupid AOL disk. Cell phones were not something that permeated the culture. Like, just, it was just so hard to look outside of, you know, newspapers or your own town or calling the law firm directly. And over the years, every so often, I would kind of, you know, do a half-hearted search. Especially in later years, as, you know, social media became more of a thing. And maybe, you know, maybe I was naive and I thought it would just be easy to find them, but it wasn't. And because of that, I guess I felt like, since they're older than me, that maybe they would have found me first, but they hadn't. And so I thought, I don't know, in my mind, I thought they must know I exist, but they just don't want to know me. And that couldn't have been further from the truth, but I didn't know. And so just recently, like on October 6th, I got this Facebook Messenger message from Jamie, just detailing how she thinks I'm her sister and who our father was. And I felt numb, but not in a negative way, just like literally stunned. I was so excited. When I told her, of course I want to talk to her, and I was not prepared for her to video call me at like 7 a.m. So I looked like an absolute monster. And normally anyone whose home has just been invaded at 7 a.m. when they're, you know, not even wearing pants, like, they're not going to answer that call. If it's a video call, I was, you know, like, how dare you? But then I was like, well, she's, you know, she's my sister. If we'd grown up together, she would already know, like, all of the ugliest parts of me. So, but, you know, the hell with it, and answered, and we both sat in our kitchens and talked for a while, and it was amazing. And she is such an incredible person that she actually motivated me to look again for Jeff, almost like I wanted to do it for her. And I'd never been successful in the past, searching for Jeff Hunters and, you know, like, just biting the bullet and sending out these messages to strangers. And it feels like it's a little mortifying. I don't love to message a stranger. And then the answer would always be no. Like, I'm sorry, I'm not your brother. But, I mean, at least everyone I reached out to was kind. But I kind of thought it was a dead end by then. So I gave it one more shot. And then I found him. And I showed you the picture. And I showed it to my husband and my friends, and, you know, everyone across the board was like, oh my God, that's obviously him. Like, how could it not be? So I messaged him, and this was in November, I guess November 26th, so like a month and a half-ish after Jamie found me, I found Jeff, and it was him. And he was pretty over the moon when I told him about Jamie, because he was so excited and so happy to now have me in his life that he said it was overwhelming to realize that he had that, but 200% there was another one. And they had looked for me. That's how Jamie found me. And then, like I said, Jeff even went so far as to, like, reach out to a talk show. Like, they put in far more effort than I did. I just had no idea.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was very scared of rejection, especially, I think, the first message I got back from Jeff when I gave him my short little spiel about, so sorry to bother you, you might be a stranger, but this isn't that, miss your dad. I think his first message back to me was, do you think that I'm your brother, Jamie? And I don't know, there's something about the direct usage of my name that felt like, I don't know, like it could either be a man who's very angry or annoyed, or a man who is toying with me forward. I don't know, some part of it resonated in a way that it sounded kind of like my dad's letters from prison, like in almost the same manner of speaking. Yeah, but like totally put together the way he looks, the way he talks, his interests.
Can you describe, I mean, I've seen the pictures, but because this is a podcast that we're working on, obviously our audience is not going to see any photos, but can you describe what your dad looked like what you remember him looking like, and then talk a little bit about how your brother looks as well?
Charles Manson. Okay, that's totally expecting. I mean, he's just brunette, brown eyes, young face, because he was only 36. His hair was, you know, a little longer than chin length, which is exactly how Jeff looks. They have the same eyes, same brown hair. Jeff has wavy hair that's a little longer than chin length, and they have the same eye shape, which I always think of as little sideways, upside down crescent moons. Hard to describe when most of the planet is brunette with brown eyes, but they both have that same shape of eye, general complexion, and the facial hair. I mean, in my humble, biased opinion, I think that they are handsome. I was just very surprised at how similarly they look, like, to the degree that anybody who looks at them would say, like, that's clearly his son.
Yeah.
Striking.
And what about your sister, Jamie?
She also has the same eyes as our dad and Jeff. She has the same shape. They always look brown in pictures, but in real life, they're more of a blue-green. Okay. I can see her resemblance in the one photo that I sent you. I could see the resemblance in all three of them, in their eyes. Outside of that, in person, Jamie actually looks different. Her hair is lighter. Her eyes are lighter. She also had a very traumatic upbringing, but it wasn't his fault. I think both he and her mother were pretty problematic people. And I don't look like either one of them whatsoever.
And outside of, like, physical similarities, do you and your siblings have similar mannerisms or anything like that?
Yeah, for sure. It's not all positive, but there's definitely I would assume hereditary similarity. For instance, I don't know, it's kind of tough because I don't necessarily want to speak on their behalf about anything that's negative, but I know that, I don't know, I don't feel like I want to call myself an alcoholic, but maybe I compartmentalize really well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just successful.
Yeah.
I think that there's definitely an addiction factor. But conversely, there seems to also be this trait of profound thinking and loving, and that both Jeff and Jamie are people who think about things deeply. They don't, I'm trying to think of the best way to phrase it. I don't know, they just don't take things lightly. They think about things very deeply. For instance, Jamie found me 2 months before she reached out to me, but she had to think about it a lot every day before she was able to make the leap and reach out to me. Likewise, with her wife, she had her wife's business card in her wallet for 6 months before she was even able to ask her out to coffee, that she would take that card out of her wallet every day and look at it, think about it. Back in December, because she's so thoughtful, we met for lunch and she brought me a gift, and It was a book of poetry, an original print. And just because she knows that that I write and that I was an English major, and she's just perceptive and thoughtful. And Jeff is the same. Jeff is very music oriented, and sometimes he just, instead of a text, he'll just send me a song. Usually enough to get the mood or the point across.
Yeah. Does he play guitar like your dad did?
I think so.
Cool.
I think he's a pretty progressive guy, because I know it was difficult for him to be moved to where he is in Mississippi when he was younger, when he was from, I think, Kansas City, with just a more progressive crowd, a larger, metro area.
And now he lives in a very rural area, right?
Yeah, but Jamie is quieter than he is.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know, a lot of him just reminds me of our dad. And Jamie is more quietly thoughtful, but also incredibly smart. She was a semi-pro soccer player, a history teacher.
Wow.
She and her wife are super successful, and they have this beautiful property in Cripple Creek in the mountains that I've been out to for the weekend. I don't know, it just seems like there is this trend of thoughtfulness and loving that, despite any negative traits that our father may have had or passed down, it seems like there is no cyclical abuse, I guess. Like, we're all very pacifistic.
What do you do for a living? I know you said you're an English major and you write. Is that what you do now?
Good Lord, I wish. No, I had the same career for the last 11 years. I left as a regional trainer for that company, and now I work as an auction specialist at the company headquarters. It's my company now.
Okay.
It's not super intellectual work. But I was working on writing an anthology, and I would love to continue that. But I think it's funny, though, that both Jamie and Jeff write well, even in their communications, because so many people don't. I love to write, and reading our father's letters from prison, he was a good conversational writer.
Did your dad go to college? Do you know?
Not that I know of. I don't think so.
Do you know what kind of work that he did?
I think he was doing construction.
Okay.
And he seemed a little free-spirited in that he apparently felt comfortable traveling from state to state, doing work and hitchhiking. But also the early 80s were a very different time than now.
Yeah.
It's hard to put the same lens on it, but...
Yeah, people were hitchhiking all the time back then.
Yeah, for sure. Interstate was relatively new-ish.
Yeah.
Hitchhiking was happening. Serial killing was happening.
Yeah. It sounds like your dad was like a natural-born writer then. It sounds like the three of you got that as well.
Possibly. I don't know... I really don't know anything as far as whether he was ever interested in writing creatively. All I know is that he can write a good letter.
Yeah. So you've mentioned the letters several times. I know you're going to send them to me later, but can you tell us, like, some of the things that are in the letters? Is there anything in particular that stood out to you? Or, I don't know, I just want to hear about them.
His style of writing is funny to me, that he would say things like, "Welp," or refer to me as Little Jamie Rose. But he would, again, even speaking informally, he would still punctuate those things correctly, which to me, in my tiny opinion, is a sign of a smart mind. Like, you can write conversationally, but also write it correctly. In one of the letters, it was mostly concerning not allowing my stepdad to adopt me or for me to change my last name, which is why I still have Hunter. That just, I guess, wasn't something he wanted to do. I don't know why, since he was staring down a bunch of life sentences at the time, but kept me a Hunter for the rest of my life. But he would talk about their separation, you know, being happy that she has her happy little family with her stepdad.
Charlie was not with your mom anymore when he met Daniel Rometta and Lisa Dunn. They had already been separated.
I believe my mom and my stepdad got married when I was, they were married for 17 years. It was either 2 or 3, maybe I was 2. I'm in their wedding photos, so I existed, but obviously. But yeah, she and Charlie had divorced. I'm not 100% on the timeline of the trial, so I'm assuming they divorced before the crimes even occurred.
Was Charlie also married to Jeff's mother?
I'm not sure. I know he was married to Jamie's mother. I cannot recall if he was married to Jeff's mother. I feel like he was, but I also don't want to say definitively because I don't know definitively.
I can't imagine, and I know I'm sure our audience probably feels the same way. It's hard to probably hear these stories about your father, and, you know, I mean, you're an adult now, so it's a little bit different, and I know that, like, taking these things in and accepting things as they are once you get older is a little bit easier, but I still can't imagine, like, your father was on trial for this. He was affiliated with these people who committed terrible crimes, regardless of him being, you know, just like a wrong place, wrong time kind of thing. Can you talk about how, like, this has affected you and how his death affected you afterwards, as much as you're okay with getting into?
I mean, surprisingly, not very much. I was young, and the more I learned as I grew up, I don't know, like, as I had mentioned, I'm fairly emotionally disconnected from it. It, you know, it was a startling thing. And of course, when I was younger, I had cousins and other people who would tell me these horrific, salacious things about how he actually died. And of course, none of these things were true. But I grew
up in a small town. Like, what kind of thing were they saying? What do you mean?
Well, one of my cousins, who actually recently passed away himself, would tell me that he died from this massive cocaine overdose, and would talk about all of these murders that he committed, and just really blowing things up, when in reality, it was just a heart attack. But when you're younger, you take in information from a lot of different sources, and then I guess you try to find the middle ground or suss out whatever kernel of truth there is in it. But obviously, as an adult, you know, I understand what actually happened. But I would say that there were some years in between, though, when I was a kid, where things were a little bit more difficult trying to make sense of what actually happened. And also because my mother didn't want to have those conversations with me, obviously, because I was so young. But instead, I'm being fed that information from unreliable sources. So it's almost worse. And I don't know, I guess it's balanced out now. Like, I'm an adult. I understand what actually happened. But no, I emotionally don't feel anything about it. I'm not sad about it. I'm not angry. Of course I feel horrible for the victims because it was a horrible crime. But as far as me directly, it didn't directly affect me. And it's not even really my place to have a soapbox.
I understand what you're saying. I know, like, I'm sure you've read about, like, how the killings happened and things like that. Was there ever a thought in your mind that your dad would be capable of something like that?
I mean, to going to sound pretty cliche, but I really didn't think so. But at the same time, I had to contend with the fact that I was very young. And at the time that it happened, I obviously wasn't capable of making those kinds of judgment calls. Mm-hmm. So I reasoned eventually that I'm really not capable in any way of being able to inherently know or decide whether he could or couldn't. And, you know, all of my aunts and uncles who knew him so well, you know, there were just two sides to him, where he was so amazing and charming and smart and witty and generous, and then also abusive and a monster. Since I was never subjected, at least in my memory, to any of the worst part, I mean, anything I witnessed, I was an infant, so, like, I'm not even authorized, really, to say, but yeah. For some reason, I don't know why, but I don't feel like he was capable of doing those things, yeah. And knowing my mother for the person that she was, like, it doesn't fully check out to me, but that doesn't mean I'm not wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it's hard when you're so young too, because our perception of how adults are can be completely wrong.
You know, being a kid and not being fully exposed at the time, I can't in good faith just blindly and, you know, completely defend a person whose actions I really wasn't aware of.
Yeah. So, I know I told you I had, like, not the best relationship with my father and things were not amazing, but I still have solid memories that are very happy memories I have with him. And my sister and I talk about it sometimes, you know, like, you remember that one time? And I remember being a little kid and, like, laughing a lot with him and having a really good time. Can you think of any instances like that? Like, you, like, what's the happiest memory you have of your dad or something like that?
Actually, no. Bizarrely, I can remember my Uncle Sean holding me on his lap and playing guitar and singing Puff the Magic Dragon to me like he often would.
Yeah.
And I know that he and my dad would, you know, sometimes play together, and he would say my dad was a good guitar player as well and singer, but for whatever reason, my memories in that regard, like, are more focused on my uncle than my dad. And it could also, I mean, that could also be in part to his, like, somewhat transient lifestyle, hybrid transient lifestyle. I mean, sometimes a present person, sometimes in the wind.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. One last question. I always do this at the end of any interview. Is there anything that you think our audience should know, like the listeners to this podcast? Is there anything you want them to know about your dad or about everything that happened?
The only thing that I can think of is that every person is multifaceted. And he's a charismatic and amazing and unique individual, but he also had other facets that were pretty monstrous. Could be or could not be in relation to the crime, but I don't know. That's not a black and white person. There's a lot of gray area, and I think that applies to a lot of people.
Yeah, I agree.
For any person you know who might be the best person in the world to you, they might be a monster to somebody else.
Very true. Very, very true. You know, I've read so many of the newspaper articles and a lot of things, but they speak very vaguely of your dad. A lot of it concentrates more on Daniel and Lisa. So he's kind of a mystery. So it's nice to get more of an idea of who he was as a person. And I can picture him with the photos that you send and everything, like playing a guitar and everything. Like, it's nice to be able to have that now.
Cool.
Now recording.
There we go. So first, I want to say thank you so much for talking with us. I'm super excited to get your perspective on your dad. So
what I know. He was supposedly hitchhiking and he got picked up by, I don't know how to say his name. And basically somewhere along the line, the guy ended up killing a police officer, and they kidnapped a couple guys from a granary. And my dad supposedly injured the grain operator and a disabled man. And they all got caught at a farm. He was taken to jail, and he was in the first trial, he was convicted, and then he had a second trial where he was acquitted because the Supreme Court had said that the judge hadn't allowed him to use the compulsion defense.
Okay, and did your mom talk to you about this stuff, or your stepdad, or how did you find out about this?
That's all the stuff from the newspaper articles and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, personally, I mean, my mom said that he was a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde type of individual, especially if you're drinking or doing drugs.
I've heard that from other people as well. When he was drinking, there was a lot of, he was abusive and things like that. So, I mean, that's a pretty common thing, though, I think, that drinks turn into a different person sometimes.
Right.
Yeah. Do you happen to know about any, I know you don't know how to say the other guy's last name. Do you know if your dad knew them prior to, or he was literally just hitchhiking and got in the wrong car?
I don't know if he was just hitchhiking or not. You know, I just, all I have is what he said that he was doing in the newspaper articles. Yeah.
Did you keep in touch with your dad when he was incarcerated?
I did not.
No.
My dad didn't believe that I was his child.
Okay. So it's funny you say that because, you know, your sister's name is Jamie, your name is Jamie, his name is James.
Yes.
I feel like if he didn't believe, part of me thinks that he would have pushed your mom to name you Jamie because he wanted to keep his name continuing, but then if he didn't believe that you were his kid, then why would he care, you know?
Right.
I've just never met anybody who's named two of their offspring with the same name, and it's odd. Can you just talk a little bit about, like, what kind of person your father was, that you knew him from, that your mother may have said, or your stepfather may have said?
You know, my mom said that he was a real charismatic guy. He was really popular, and he liked to dance. They went dancing all the time. He could be cruel.
Where did your mom meet him?
At the bar. Jack's Bar, I believe is the name of it. But my dad would know better.
Okay.
Yeah. Basically, what I've been told, that My mom's not always the, or she wasn't always the, but my sister told me that one time he told her, they were together while she was pregnant with me, and he told her that was a demon in her belly.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
What, you mentioned before that he did drugs. Do you know what kind of drugs he was into?
My mom told me that he dropped acid and smoked marijuana.
Did your mom keep in contact with him that you know of while he was incarcerated, or did anybody? Like, I know he sent Jamie's mother letters.
Yeah, I have them.
Have you read through them?
I've read through some of them, yes.
Yeah? What do you think?
He was taking some college courses and trying to do something with himself while he was in jail, and he was trying to get a computer degree. And the writing sometimes doesn't feel, you know what, I can pop one for you.
Okay.
His tone was strange. At least I thought it was. Okay. Teresa, howdy. I expect you are waiting for an answer from the letter you done wrote, so here it is. Sorry it took so long, but I had to wait till I got these state envelopes, and his handwriting started to read. Give inmate 10, and here envelopes, and they pay the postage. On the 27th of August, my attorney was scheduled to file the brief for my appeal to the Supreme Court. And it is the Dunn girl's attorney in possessions of the exhibit for the trial. My attorney needs these things to complete the, I don't know what that word is. He's been forwarded to ask for a 3-day extension. In doing this, it will be about 5 months till I hear one way or the other that's about the acquittal or the pretrial. It's beyond my scope reasoning as to where ever come up with this idea. I was looking to make a decision about Jamie start school this year. I've had copies of the letters I wrote to ya, and you still got the ones I made ya need to be something again, reading them again. I made myself quite clear in the last letter as to what my intentions are. Ain't nothing changed had I got the settlement, yet you would know, so of course the check would have come on down soon as it was drafted. He was in some sort of car accident, and he was supposed to get a settlement, right? I don't see where you come justifying thinking means coming from me. I take it you don't nightly know what constitutes a something around these. There ain't a damn thing that's changed from when I wrote, from what I wrote in answers to your last letter. I was pretty clear on where I stood, so you need to reread the letters I sent or possibly have someone with a little more intellect and comprehensibility read them for you. So I'm not trying to be a wise ass, so don't take it to be the fact is you obviously don't understand simple English. I'm pretty well certain your attorney had no trouble understanding the letter I wrote him. I don't see on know that what you ask would be in Jamie's best interest. Best of all, be all my appeal and everything. Yeah. When all is exhausted and failed, it can for me in a minute believe it will happen. Even so, I'm still at the state penitentiary court level, and it's too long away from the U.S. Supreme Court. So he thought he was innocent. But this is about Jamie. Her mom wanted to have her husband adopt her.
Yeah, she had mentioned that, and he didn't want that, right?
Right, he didn't want that.
Okay.
But his writing is a little weird. Like, sometimes it's really yaw and ain't and yaw, and then sometimes it's really clear and intellectual, and yeah.
I wonder why that is. That's interesting.
Yeah.
He didn't, do you know if he went to college or university before this happened?
I don't know.
He said he was doing courses that, that's right, he was in the, so he probably did not go to university, if I had to guess. Most people back then did not, if they were in military.
Yeah.
You said that you think his tone is weird. That's what you mean by him saying, yeah, and all of that?
Right. Yeah, like one minute he's like, I made it really clear to your lawyer, and then he's like, I ain't stupid, and I ain't this and that, and I'm like,
it does seem odd.
Yeah.
A question about your dad. We found a newspaper article from back then that mentioned that he had a nickname, and his nickname was Catfish. Have you heard that anywhere?
No.
No?
Harley.
Yeah, that's what I had thought too. And I know that Lisa Dunn had said in newspaper articles that they called him JC, but my supervisor found another article that said his nickname was Catfish, which was after a baseball player from the 40s, I believe, a long time ago. And so I was just wondering if anybody had heard about that. I kind of wondered too, he seems like he lived a couple different lives, and maybe when he was hitchhiking and off doing whatever he was doing, he used different names than he used with the people who were closest to him.
Yeah, I know that when they went to California, my mom and him went to California for a few months, and that he wanted her to call him James there.
Interesting.
he had my mom get a tattoo on herself.
Really? Of his name?
No, of a butterfly. So, because he was paranoid that she was going to cheat on him or something. He was really paranoid, my mom said.
Huh.
So she got a tattoo on herself. But then I guess he went out to the bar one night and told a couple of his friends that he had it, but he was so drunk he didn't remember. So,
wow.
Yeah.
The more I talk to people, the more I find out he was a very complex person, it seems like.
Yeah.
Yeah. So one of the things that I find most interesting about this story is how you and your siblings found each other. I believe you wrote Jamie on Facebook.
Yes.
She said. So just speak to that a little bit. I'd like to hear your side of the story of how that happened.
Well, what happened was I got really sick my senior year or my freshman year of college. And my mom had to come out and tell me that that my dad, because we were going off of Mike Luce's medical history. And so she had to tell me the truth about my dad. And so I was 18 at the time. And then when I was, I got the will saying that the three of us existed. And I was shocked and I started calling around and I couldn't find either one of them. And so what I ended up doing is I was interested in what my ancestry was. So I went to ancestry.com and there's a lady, her name is Jamie Schwartz. She's really good at locating people. She's a chaplain in Kansas City. She used ancestry.com along with public records to find out that my dad had been married in Oklahoma and later went to Texas. And I had a distant relative that was related to somebody, to a hunter in Texas. And she was able to find out the information about him marrying and having a daughter and everything. And that's when I located her on Facebook. And I sat on it for a couple months trying to decide if I would contact her. And then I finally decided that I was going to contact her. And she happened to find our brother shortly after that. So, yeah.
It's so interesting. I mean, you hear about this stuff like on TV and stuff sometimes, but I guess you never think it's going to happen to you. But it also, I mean, I guess it helps with social media and the internet these days.
Definitely.
And so this was last October, right?
Yes.
And so you and your siblings have been close since then?
Jamie and I have.
Yeah.
Jeff and I talk very often.
I guess he lives in middle of nowhere, Mississippi now.
Yeah.
So back to your dad. So Jamie had said something that she thought your parents were married for a little while. Did they get married or they did?
They did.
Okay.
In Oklahoma.
Okay. And then had you and then divorced sometime later or how did that go down?
She was pregnant with me and she got a emergency divorce.
Okay. That's a thing?
Yes, I don't know. That's what she told me. I don't know what it is.
Okay.
She had to be divorced quickly because in order to get remarried, you have to be divorced so many days and they wanted to be married, my dad and her, before I was born so that he could say that he was the father on my birth certificate.
Okay. That makes sense.
So that they didn't have to go around the hoops of adopting me.
Yeah.
She
can get it. Can you describe to the best of your ability what your dad looks like?
Yeah.
Looks like? Yeah.
He had brownish hair, brown eyes. I mean, medium to fair skin.
Do you think you look like him?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe I look like him. His spitting image.
Do you see similarities between you and your siblings?
Yeah, Jeff and I, definitely. Yeah. When we're little kids and we look a lot the same. Yeah.
Outside of like physical similarities, do you see mental and emotional similarities or any mannerisms that you do are the same? I'm always curious about nature versus nurture, you know, if it's something we grow up with or something that's really ingrained in us.
Well, I'm going to disclose something really personal.
Okay.
I'm bipolar. My mom has always said that that has come from my father. There's something wrong with him.
Yeah, I wonder. I don't know if they were even diagnosing bipolar back then.
No, they weren't.
Yeah. Huh. Well, I mean, it kind of makes sense. That would explain some of his behaviors and issues with substances as well.
Yeah.
But outside of that, do you think, like, you said you and Jeff look really similar. Do you think that you and Jeff are similar in other ways that aren't physical?
I don't know. I don't know him very well.
Or you and Jamie?
Oh, we're both pretty down to earth. I mean, I like that about her.
Yeah.
So is Jeff when I've talked to him. Like, we're all pretty down to earth, not super hyper people or anything else. Yeah.
And then one of the things and if this is too personal and you don't want to go into it, I know this is a sensitive subject. How has this incident and then like his death that followed, how has it affected you, or do you think it changed your life in a formative way or anything like that?
It was really difficult to find out at 18 that, and then to find out that he was dead already and I never got a chance to meet him. That was pretty, I mean, I was very angry about it for a long time. But that being said, he probably wouldn't have been a good influence on my life. You know, taking that into consideration, I can understand why my parents tried to shelter me from him. But what was really hard is that my grandparents, they wanted to see me. But because my family had decided that I was going to be adopted, that was completely cut off. That was really hard to know that they wanted to see me and I didn't get to see them.
Did you ever get to see them once you found out?
No, they had both passed.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah. I mean, they were nice to leave me money in a will, never being able to see me. It speaks to the character to me about them.
You might not know, but I wonder, just because I have heard stories about your dad being abusive and things like that, like, do you know anything about his childhood?
My mom told me that he was in a bad accident as a kid. He was hit by a car, and he had a scar on his face from it. I looked through the pictures, but I can't. I have one picture of him and my mom, and he has his hair really long on one side, and I'm wondering if that's where the scar was.
I've seen a couple of photos of him as well, and it's all been his hair has been kind of in his face.
Right.
Yeah.
So I know his mom had cancer at one time. My mom told me that she was really sick. And she alluded to the idea that she was kind of cruel to my dad.
The only reason I ask is just because sometimes abuse goes through generations.
Right.
People try to cope when they're an adult, but end up doing things they shouldn't be doing as well.
Right.
So your stepdad is actually friends with your biological father, Charlie.
Yeah, I found that this morning.
Just this morning, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I was gonna ask you if he's talked about him or if he's told you anything, but if you just found out this morning, then that's probably not the case.
No.
Is that how I wonder if that's how your adopted father... Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Interesting. I mean, it seems like everything worked out for the better.
Definitely.
Yeah. I do want to ask you, is there anything about your dad or anything you want to leave them to remember this by or anything like that?
I mean, more than anything, that he was acquitted in the end.
Yeah.
I mean, he was considered innocent. He died an innocent man.
Yeah.
Yeah. But whether or not he was or not is always going to be a question in my mind. I'm sure everybody in my family. But, I mean, those 5 days that he was out, at least he got to be free.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like, you know, I've heard from a lot of people that he was abusive, sounds like it was more verbal than anything.
Right.
From what you've heard and what you know about your biological father, do you think that he would be capable of murdering people like this and like the, you know, horrible ways that some of these people died?
Based on what my mom told me about him, how dark he could be, maybe, but I hope not.
What other things has your mom said that he was dark about? Can you elaborate on that at all, or do you want to?
Yeah, just that he was physically abusive to my mom.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, while she was pregnant with me. And she would sneak away in the night when he was super screwed up, my sister's, because she was afraid of him.
Wow.
And so, I mean, she wanted a divorce from him, and he pretty much left town. Nobody knows where he went when she got the divorce.
Mm.
At least that's what she told me. I don't know if that's true or not.
Do you know how long they were together?
Not long. Like a year and a half, something like that.
Seems like it all happened pretty quick.
Yeah.
Also, I would really love to talk to your stepdad.
Yeah, he told me that he doesn't know anything about the actual crimes or anything else, but he can tell you about when he was younger with him.
Yeah, that's what I would like. I love getting your perspective and Jamie's perspective as well. But I think it's different because you guys were kids when this happened, so your perspective is, you know, not the same as somebody who was an adult with him. Also, he would have acted differently with his kids than he would his friends and the people around him, you know? So I would definitely like to get the full picture of who Charlie was.
Describing him, he's like, you never knew which personality was going to come out.
Wow.
Yeah. Hmm. He's going to disclose to me his friendship with my dad tonight.
I talked to Jamie, obviously, and then I talked to the other Jamie, her half-sister as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And your daughter just told me that you knew Charlie prior to all of this happening. She said that you were friends with him at one point.
We're talking about the early to mid-70s. You know, by along about 1975, maybe even before that, I really didn't have anything to do with him other than once in a while our paths would cross and, you know, we'd acknowledge one another in the bar. That would have probably happened about 1969 or 70.
And was he a heavy drinker? Did you know him to drink a lot?
You got to remember, we were both kids then, and we drank a lot of beer. And we drank a lot of beer together, you know, and we became friends and hung out together some.
And this was in Kansas City that you met him?
Yes.
Okay.
Overland Park specifically, suburb of Kansas City.
So you guys just hung out and drank beer. Did he ever talk about having other kids or anything? Did you know about, like, his son, Jeff?
He mentioned something about that ever so briefly.
Can you just, like, kind of talk about what kind of person he was?
Seemed to be fun and happy and actually seemed to be a pretty nice guy. Quick temper.
Did you see him, like, get into any bar fights or anything like that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, with all this being said, there was something that just didn't seem quite right, you know, so I backed away, and our paths didn't even cross on Jamie 2 or 3 years.
So when you met him, was he with Jamie's mother at the time? I know she had told me that their relationship was started and ended very quickly.
When I met him, that was before they got together.
Oh, okay. And then, so, did you meet Jamie's mom through him?
She was the bartender at the local tavern where we both went and drank beer.
Okay. That makes sense. And do you know anything about his relationship with her? I mean, anything that she told you after when you were together with her or anything like that?
No. She never really said anything about it at all.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, she's recently passed away, so we can't.
Ask her. Yeah, I know. I'm sorry to hear that. Jamie mentioned that when I spoke with her. Do you remember hearing about this story? Like when the news broke and everything?
Oh, yeah.
And what was your reaction to that?
Well, my reaction to that is he got himself in a pickle this time. I knew none of the people that, you know, that incident happened with. I didn't know any of it. Then all of a sudden, I'm hearing that they're in a shootout with the police. you know, and the rest is history.
Some people have told me that he was just hitchhiking and then got picked up by these people. But then there's also another story that some people have said that he was friends with one of the guys, Mark Walter. Have you ever heard that name before?
No.
No. So some people had told me that Mark Walter called Charlie and made arrangements to pick him up in a certain place, that they were going to take him along. And one of the things we're trying to figure out is if that's actually true.
I'm no help. I just don't know.
Was he known to hitchhike? Like, was that a common thing he was doing?
Well, we both did a little hitchhiking, you know, in those days. Now, was a common genie. He and I never went on any excursions like that.
Do you remember, I'm sure, I know you remember when you heard about it on the news. Were you with Jamie's mother when she heard about it? Do you remember what her reaction was like?
No, I do not.
No. Like, what I really want out of this is just, like, I'm trying to get a sense of who he was. I know, like, he, apparently when he drank, he was very angry.
He could be.
Is there, like, any special instances you remember of something bad happening? Like, something that would make you think he was capable of killing people?
Charlie was a Marine. You know, he was in the Navy, in the Marines at the same time I was in the Navy.
Okay.
And I do remember a bar fight that I really wasn't part of. But he had a pitcher of beer in his hand and broke it across the table, you know, banging it down on the edge of the table, and went after some guy. And a couple of people got a hold of him and stopped him. Nobody got seriously hurt. And I don't recall if the police were involved in that episode or not.
Was he ever arrested? Because we did, like, a background check on him, and I didn't find anything on his record. But I don't know if, like, sometimes they seal records and stuff. Do you ever know if he was in any other trouble prior to this?
No, I really don't. He never talked about being arrested, but I'm probably pretty sure he would have been arrested for intoxication in public or DWI or something like that, but I can't swear to any specific incident.
Did you know him to do any drugs ever?
We smoked some pot.
Yeah.
I don't remember doing any other kind of drugs.
The reason why I ask is because some people had said that two of the guys possibly that were in the car that were involved in this had been using heroin at some point.
I don't know anything about that.
Okay. And then when he was incarcerated, did he ever try to reach out to Jamie or to her mother or anything that you know of?
Not that I'm aware of.
And nobody had any communication with him, like, prior to him getting out or anything, or even those couple days that he was out?
No, not that I'm aware of. I don't even know what he was locked up.
Well, he was incarcerated because he was there for the police shootout. Like, the police pulled over their car after they stole a vehicle. They took two hostages, ended up killing them, and then they got stopped by the police after the police figured out that they had been involved in the robberies, plus the thing in the grain elevator and all of that. And they pulled over the car, and I don't know who shot first, but that's how the shootout occurred. And obviously Charlie was in the vehicle. The other guy, Mark Walter, was shot dead by police during that shootout. So Charlie, the woman, Lisa, and then Danny, the, I don't know if you want to say ringleader, but they all got arrested. And Charlie was charged as an accomplice. And so he served 3 years, and then he won his appeal based on the fact that Lisa and the other guy, Daniel, said that he was just a hitchhiker that they had picked up. And he didn't really have anything to do with all the murders they had committed. So he won his appeal. And then I believe 4 days after he was released is when he passed away of a heart attack.
You know much more than I do. I was never privy to all these details.
Yeah. It's kind of a crazy story. I'm trying to get a sense of everything because they drove through a lot of states and robbed a lot of places and did all kinds of things. So it's a lot to keep organized. But overall, I mean, could you imagine him getting into something like this? Like getting in a vehicle with people and knowing that they're stopping at all these places and robbing people and killing them on the way? Can you imagine him going along with something like that?
Him getting in a vehicle and going off on an escapade like that does not surprise me. I think you're describing Charlie Hunter.
Yeah.
Now, getting involved in murder, that's kind of a stretch. I just don't think he would have been involved in that. But, you know, in the heat of the moment when you're doing this stuff, I don't want to use the word peer pressure.
Yeah.
But Charlie would not back down from anyone.
From what it looks like from the files, I don't think Charlie actually shot anybody. It looks like they stopped at a gas station and the other two gentlemen in the car went in and robbed it and ended up killing people. And they were the ones who also killed the hostages. It's from the sounds of what I've gathered so far. But that Charlie and the other girl, Lisa, were sitting in the car. And so,
okay, I can't collaborate or deny. I just don't know. The only thing that I would share is that Charlie that I knew was really a fun, loving, easygoing guy, but would not back down from a confrontation. I mean, it was almost like a split personality where he could go from one person and break into a bad behavior in the snap of a finger. He was quick. I mean, he just...
Sounds like what other people have told us, actually, that it kind of seemed like he had multiple personalities. Like, he would be playing music and his guitar one minute and be happy, and then the next minute he'd be very angry and mean to people.
I would collaborate that one. That is the Charlie that I knew.
Yeah. I know he was in the military, and his dad was as well. Do you know if he, like, grew up in an abusive household or anything like that, or anything that might have given him...
I was only at his mom and dad's house with him one time. He didn't even see his mother, but talked with his father briefly, and it just didn't seem like that was the case. I don't know. I can't talk about that. I just don't know.
I think good people do bad things all the time, and I want to make sure that that comes across. You know, he wasn't just this person who went on a rampage with these people or anything like that, you know, the people that were involved in this.
You know, when there was that, I spoke earlier about, there was something that I sensed that I just need to back away. Now, I didn't think he was ever going to go off and do something like this, but who wants to hang out with somebody that likely going to get in a bar fight tonight, you know?
Yeah. Were you, like, on edge around him or just always waiting for something bad to happen? Is that why? What you mean by that?
Well, I wouldn't say that I was on edge, but I always knew that his personality could switch, and all of a sudden, you know, the whole episode turns upside down, you know? Does that make sense to you?
Death rides the highway.